Hi, everyone. Welcome to the 89th episode of Movies with My Mother. Can you even believe it?
Not at all. It just seems like we just started this.
Again, for those just tuning in, on our way to the 100th episode, Mom and I have decided from 90 to 99, we're going to watch a batch of our favorite movies.
Yep. Got them all picked out already.
We got them all picked out.
Yes. We just made a TikTok. If you want to see all the jackets, you can tune into our TikTok.
Yeah, because we just talked about them and I can't tell you what all 10 are again.
No, no.
And, you know, why would I write them down?
Oh, well, please. Please. And who? What is your name again?
Right.
So, yeah, you'll have to... stay tuned.
Yeah, definitely stay tuned because we are fixing to have some fun.
Yes.
The next 10 episodes. Not to say that this episode wasn't fun. I think we had a little bit of fun with this.
We sure did. This was a fun movie. I really enjoyed it. And we have a great TikTok. I think that turned out really well. Times two.
We were so excited to eat our email that I didn't take pictures.
Right.
But thankfully, Big Daddy had ordered two sandwiches, so we got pictures of those.
Right. Which was more to what they ordered anyway.
Yeah.
So they didn't... We ordered breakfast, which is what we always order when we go to the diner.
Yeah.
But he ordered lunch, so...
Yeah. We watched Mystery Men.
Yes. Yes, we did.
This movie is from 1999. It's rated PG-13. It was 121 minutes, so just over 2 hours. Directed by Kinka Usher. And I feel like with a name like Kinka, you need to pronounce Usher like weird. Because, I don't know, like my whole mouth moves funny to go Kinka Usher.
Yes, he's French.
Okay.
So it's probably Usher.
Yeah, probably. And I want to make that mouth sound, that
yes,
the O sound,
yes.
This movie got 60% on Rotten Tomatoes, which I was a little surprised by.
Yeah, we talked about that already, and yeah, that doesn't seem quite right
because, like, this was a great movie, but like not a critically great movie,
right?
But still, Rotten Tomatoes likes it.
Who knows? It did look cool.
It really did.
There was a lot of, like I said, there's a lot of stuff to look at.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what, you know, that's what people were saying. I don't know.
It got 66 on Metascore, which is one of the highest Metascores we've ever seen.
Unbelievable to me. Unbelievable. But it is a... star-packed cast.
Yes. And it got 6.1 out of 10 on IMDb, which I think is a little low for something, you know, as fun as this. And this takes me back to, you know, a place and time. So the nostalgia factor alone.
Right. Right. Who knows? I enjoyed it. I know I'm just every man, I guess, but not Rotten Tomatoes critical.
Yeah.
Sometimes I wonder about those, like, what?
Yeah, I don't really understand the algorithm for Rotten Tomatoes, but...
And I've read all the stuff I could see about it and how they figure those numbers, but still, I don't get it.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
Huge budget, because there were only stars in the cast.
Yes. Yes.
About $68 million.
Yes, I saw that.
And a worldwide gross of about $33.4 million.
Ouch.
So less than half.
Yeah, crazy. I don't understand that. I mean, you know what? I did. I had read that thing about it was held back a week. I should have looked to see what else was opened that day.
But you said that it was held back for the release of Blair Witch.
Yes.
Which was a whole phenomenon. It had us in a chokehold. And yes. I'm going to tell you right now, I am not a Blair Witch fan.
And I know that that played for more than just 1 week.
Oh, that played forever.
Would
in
that
the theater.
Have affected our movie?
Absolutely.
So, you know, maybe that's why it didn't do so well money-wise.
Hmm.
Because I know that Blair Witch, that played for
forever.
A long time.
It never went away.
No. No, people were streaming into the theaters to see that.
Yeah.
For a long time. Interesting.
Wild.
Yeah.
The basic plot is that a group of inept amateur superheroes must try to save the day when a supervillain threatens to destroy a major superhero and Champion City.
Yes. That's it in a nutshell.
Yeah.
And then comedy ensues. Craziness.
This movie starred Ben Stiller, Vinny Garofalo, William H. Macy, Hank Azaria, Cal Mitchell, Paul Rubens, Greg Kinnear, Lena Olin, Jeffrey Rush. The name this person goes by is now Susie Eddie Izzard.
Okay.
Because they have since transitioned.
Okay.
An appearance by Artie Lang.
Who is that?
Artie Lang, the guy that eats the cake at the very beginning with the red eyes. That was Artie Lang. And Artie Lang was the fat guy in Dirty Work, the friend with the dad that was in the hospital.
Okay.
And it turns out that the dad was the friend's dad too.
Yes. 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 Okay.
So let's hear what you got.
Okay, well, this was written by Neil Cuthbert, directed by Arkinka Usher. He was born in Nice, France in 1960. His mother was an Italian ballet producer, and she had a company of her own. And his father was a museum exhibit designer. How cool is that? I think that's cool.
Yeah, that is cool.
He grew up splitting his time in Europe and the U.S. Early on, he wanted to be in the restaurant business, and that's where he started his work. He started working in kitchens.
Oh.
And he worked up to sous chef. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Because nowhere did I see that he went to culinary school.
Wow.
You know, so yay him. Then at the age of 23, he became a production assistant at Harmony Pictures in L.A. Then he worked his way up to camera assistant and Steadicam operator, and eventually on to cameraman and director. Geez, there's a way to get to be a director? And I thought, what's a Steadicam? And you know what? We all know what a Steadicam is. Steadicam is the contraption that the cameraman wears to hold the camera. It was developed in 1975 by Garrett Brown. And we see him all the time on football fields and stuff.
Yeah.
Where the guy is holding the camera and he's in that contraption. That's a Steadicam.
Cool.
His break came when he was hired as a cameraman by director Roger Corman.
Oh, okay.
Little House of Horrors, yeah. Little Shop of Horrors, and a whole lot more.
Uh-huh.
He was also, Roger Corman. He's the one that brought in all those foreign films, remember?
Mm-hmm.
We talked about him.
Yeah, the distribution stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So his directorial debut was in 1992 as a commercial for Acura. He did an Acura commercial.
Did you know that Acura is the luxury brand of Honda?
Yes. I think somewhere in my head I knew that.
Yeah.
Yeah. In 1998, he got a Directors Guild Award for Best Commercial Director. He has an extensive list of commercials that he has done. Taco Bell, Pepsi, Nissan, Miller Lite. Just tons and tons and tons. And in he crossed over in 1999 to do our movie. But he had done a couple of other things, and I have those written down. Something called The Nest from 1987 and Voyager from 1991. They looked like, I didn't really do a lot of research into them. They looked like movies, but then I thought maybe they were like some kind of like little short type thing or something. I didn't really. So this, you know, he's done movies before. So, in 2002, he had an indie film at the No Dance Film Festival called Hip, Edgy, Sexy, Cool. I don't know what that is. So,
okay. I don't know what No Dance is.
Well, if you can't get into the Sundance Film Festival, you get into the No Dance Film Festival.
Okay.
Sure. I don't know. I'm guessing. But after those things, and after this movie, he went back to his commercials. And I know that you will know this one. He did a Super Bowl commercial in 2011 for Bridgestone Tires. And if you are a commercial fan, like me, I knew right away what this was. It's the one where two guys in a cubicle. There's two guys in a work cubicle.
Okay.
And the one guy is kind of laughing to the other guy in his cube, and he says, "Dude, you hit reply all." And the other guy like has that face on him, and he goes, "Oh my God." And then he sets off running, and he's pulling computers out of people's hands and smashing stuff and pulling people out of their cars because they're on their computers, and he's in computer rooms pulling all kind of cords all over the place. And you know, and then he gets back to his cubicle. Oh, the other guy says, "Nah, oh no, that wasn't reply all. It was just to reply to me." Well, anyways, I think it's a
okay.
I thought it was a crazy funny commercial, and I recognize as soon as I saw Bridgestone and the Super Bowl, I knew which one that was.
What does a reply all on an email have to do with tires?
They're in the corporate world. Two dudes in the corporate world.
Okay.
You know, and if you hit reply all, you just replied to, you know, 75 people.
No, I know how that works, but
well, he had to go in his car, so he was driving his car. I don't know.
Okay,
I knew what it was. I thought it was hilarious.
Sure.
And another little note that I found about him in 2022, he sold his Montecito mansion that he had built for $22 million to Ellen.
Oh.
So Ellen DeGeneres lives in his house.
No, she doesn't live there anymore. Her wife moved to England.
Right, I remember that.
They're selling that property too. So I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
But yeah, Ellen DeGeneres.
Huh.
How funny! But to have a Montecito mansion. I want a Montecito mansion. No, I don't.
No, California gets winter now. We don't want to go there.
You're right. But you know what? Doesn't every place get winter now? I mean,
I don't know. Last year it was cold, but it didn't hardly snow at all.
No. Yeah, it was cold. But yeah, you're right. We didn't even have any ice storms last year.
Oh.
So I guess we should stay here in Ohio?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll get California weather soon enough anyways.
That is true. And then we'll be beachfront. So we're cool. We're cool. All right. Let's talk about a little bit about production.
Sure.
In 1997, Mike Richardson's of Dark Horse Comics pitched the idea of Mystery Men to Larry Gordon and Lloyd Levin, producers at Universal. They both had nice things to say, you know, like it's relatable and it's surrealistic sensibilities and identifiable, you know, all those little buzzwords that those kind of people, you know, say. So they went ahead and produced a movie, or decided to produce a movie, and announced a bunch of comic book adaptations would begin. So in the fall of that year, Danny DeVito was in talks to star and direct this film.
Yeah, I saw that. What a movie that would have been.
But I don't know.
They wanted Danny DeVito for Mr. Furious, which would have been great. I could see him.
I just can't.
Oh.
I just can't.
I can completely see it.
Okay. But that fell through when they could not agree on the production of the soundtrack. What does that have to do with anything?
Oh, well, I do think that the people that make soundtracks really I think that a lot of them try to get like hits in, like as many hits as they can, you know, reasonably afford.
Okay.
Like this one, and this one really only played fucking All Star by right. Smash Mouth.
And that wasn't even a hit until after the movie.
Yeah.
And then, you know, after I was thinking about it, and I thought, well, maybe DeVito had a direction in mind for the movie and the music. And maybe because he didn't get his design ideas, that's when it fell apart. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I could absolutely see that. And we've seen it before, that the music in the movies can make it or break it.
Absolutely.
So if a director has an idea of the way he wants things to sound, maybe that's what it was all about. I didn't get it. But, you know, whatever. And then Ben Stiller was approached to do the rewrite and direct.
Yes.
But he turned it down, too, because he felt that he was too busy.
Oh.
And then I thought, too busy for what? I mean, maybe the direction. Well, we've known this because we have talked about it, that there's way more to starting a movie than the 5 minutes that the actors are there. You know, so you've got all that set up to begin with, and then there's all that work at the other end after the actors were there. So, you know, maybe that.
Well, what was he doing in 1999, if my phone feels like?
Yeah, tell us what, you know, and I thought, well, he was young and pretty, and maybe, you know, there was a lot of stuff going on with comedy in the 90s, at the end of the 90s. So, you know.
He did an episode of Freaks and Geeks. He was in the Smash Mouth All-Star video. He was in a movie called Black and White. He was in Mystery Men. He was in a movie called The Suburbans. He was in a movie called Heat, Vision, and Jack. So, yeah, I guess he was in a few movies.
Wow.
In 1999.
Yeah, he was busy.
He was in several movies that came out in 2000, too.
Yeah, he was pretty hot right then.
Yeah.
You know, in the years before that, too, you know, he came out and he was hot from the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
So, you know, they all liked it. People like him, so. You know, so So he was too busy to do it.
Good for him.
But then again, later on, he was approached again to do the rewrite. I'm double downing here. Then in April of 1998, Kinka was approached and he decided to direct this. When he saw the script, he was disappointed, though. He thought it was a little boring.
Yeah.
What? He was worried that the commercial, and I cannot completely understand this. His specialty was commercials. And that, you have to tell the entire story in that one tiny little minute.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's very heavy on the visuals and really light on content. You don't have a lot of, you have the Bridgestone tires, and that's all your movie is about. That's not how it works in movies. So he was very aware of the visual part of filmmaking and making of the movie and how it would look throughout. And I think he did a good job. I think visually this movie was beautiful.
Yeah, it was really cool to look at.
Yes, yes. So I think they did it. He did a good job. Okay, I give a little bit about casting.
Sure.
Janine Garofalo was signed. She signed on because Ben Stiller convinced her to sign on.
I have something else, but both could be true.
Okay. Or was it Janine Garofalo convinced Ben Stiller to do it?
Well, I don't know. Because they've been friends for years. They've been in other movies together. She was on the Ben Stiller show.
Yeah. I have my punctuation funny, and now I don't know what I wrote down.
Okay.
I need to turn the light on when I'm writing. And I probably should do this at a table where my paper isn't all over the place.
With your glasses on?
What? Okay, I could add glasses. Garofalo also signed on and convinced Stiller to join. Now, I don't know what that means.
Okay.
Garofalo said she liked Usher and it was good money. So she twisted Stiller's arm. So, yeah, she's the one that tried to convince him.
Okay.
But that's not what you have?
Well, I have that she signed on because somebody else.
Oh, okay. Okay. But he didn't want to play the Blue Raja because it was a part that he had played before. You know, he had played a part like that before and he wanted to do something different. And that's when they made him Mr. Furious.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I think actors have to be aware of that. Oh, I've already done that part. I can't do that again. That makes perfect sense to
right.
me.
Right. And Hank Azaria is a voice guy.
Right.
Hank Azaria has been on The Simpsons since
right.
the beginning of The Simpsons.
Right.
Playing all sorts of people.
Right.
So.
But I love him. I think every movie I've ever seen him in, I've enjoyed.
Yeah.
Because he is just fascinating. And he played that Blue Raja part perfectly.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Mom? It kind of it was a little creepy when mom like was on board with the whole thing. I was just like
yeah.
And then she's like, use the British accent, and I'm like, mom, you need to keep it in your pants.
That was pretty funny. That was. I thought it was pretty cool. But when he finally told her what he was doing, she was behind him. And that's what moms do. It was a little creepy when she said that.
Yeah, it was a little creepy.
And then I put a little note down here that this was Jeffrey Rush's first Hollywood film. But I don't think that that's correct. Because surely he's been in lots of movies. He's a fairly big star, isn't he? I mean,
Well, maybe he hadn't really done like American film. You know, he's Australian.
Oh, okay.
And you know, maybe he really only did Australian and English stuff. I've seen him in English stuff a few times.
Okay.
First Hollywood. His first Australian movie was Hoodwink from 1981. Well,
that's a long time until 1999.
Yeah. But yeah, I asked American movie and it said Australian. So whatever.
All right. Well, never mind.
We didn't want to know.
No. But I know, you know, Jeffrey Rush hasn't been in lots of movies because he's got that face. You remember that face.
He was in a really good movie about the Marquis de Sade called Quills.
Uh-huh.
That was a brilliant movie.
Okay. I can absolutely see him doing that.
And, you know, most of it was him, like, chained at the ankle in a pit talking to a chambermaid.
Cool. Cool.
That he convinced to smuggle out his smut stories.
Okay. Well, the writing of this movie was kind of all over the place, I think. You know, I read a bunch of different stories and the shooting of it. And Ruben said he liked the movie, the idea of the movie. And Ben Stiller said that the script was very fluid. Because everyone wanted to personalize those parts. And you can absolutely see that.
Oh, yeah.
Every single one of those people really personalized that part and made that person really come to life, I thought.
Yeah.
I absolutely believed every one of them was a superhero.
Sure.
Because they believed it.
Yeah. They did.
And Usher said that he let them go. So there was a lot of unscripted parts and really free-for-all stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
But I think it was, I really did think this was a fun movie. I really enjoyed it.
That's cool. They didn't really resolve the spleen getting shot in the ass.
No, you would think he would at least get to go to the hospital to get that bullet taken out of there.
Yeah.
And then we don't know, you know, did the world find out that the real superhero was really the billionaire? You know, what happened there? We don't know. Maybe somebody thought that there would be a part two.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't think there was any meat left on the bone.
No. Other than poor getting shot in the tushy. And why the billionaire disappeared and the superstar hero was dead. You know, whatever.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Well, that was, you know, well, he can't be the same guy. He wears glasses. Oh.
We always say, you know, Superman cannot be Clark Kent because Clark Kent wears glasses.
Right. And
I think Superman, I think Clark Kent even has a different hairdo than Superman. So
no, same hairdo.
Okay. All right. Shooting began in October of 1998 in LA and completed in April. Which that goes along with most other movies we've talked about. Bob Burden, the creator, was on the set to help whenever he could. So he would, if they felt that they needed a rewrite, they said, you know, they'd tell him and he'd whip up 15 or 20 pages of gobbledygook and the actors and the director would look at it and pull the one page out that they liked and do the one thing on the one page that Bob had sent over, you know, 20 pages of. I thought that is funny. You know, that this guy's right. This guy's spending his time typing up all this stuff, and they pick out one little thing out of it. But that's what makes a movie, I guess. So, you know. And as we have seen before, the studio did not like the ending.
Oh.
So they had to go back and reshoot a different ending. And the ending he called is the big cheer finish. So I thought,
yeah, it's the happy ending.
Yep, that's exactly what it was. They were all, it was the big cheer ending when they were at the gates talking to the press and stuff.
Yeah.
But I thought, I wonder what the, and I did not find what the original ending was.
Oh.
So, you know, that's lost to history, I guess.
Huh.
The music was scored by Stephen Warbeck, and he wrote all the stuff he needed to write in 28 days.
Oh.
That seems amazing to me.
Yeah.
And he brought in a bunch of different instruments and a whole bunch of stuff to make a bunch of different sounds. And the percussionist was bringing in his own stuff to add more interest to everything that they did. I thought, it's funny.
Yeah.
It's funny. And then in the middle of the movie, another writer, Shirley Walker, was brought in to, this is the music.
Okay.
You know, after they've already got the music and they're doing the movie, they brought in this other writer to write some more music for the movie and to rewrite arrangements of stuff that had already been done. I thought, that's crazy.
Yeah.
But I thought the music was really good in this movie. I thought it all really fit. And I just thought it was good. A soundtrack album was released in July of 1999. And the Smash Mouth hit All Star was on it. I thought, oh, cool. I know that one. And then we've already talked about how it was delayed for Blair Witch.
Yeah, that's wild to me.
And on the movie's opening weekend, it was considered number 6.
Oh,
so that wasn't very good at all.
No.
Wow, you know. So whatever. Yeah, so I think I found out some interesting stuff.
Yeah, you did.
But I think I liked, and as the more I, you know, read about stuff during the movie and stuff that was happening because of the movie, I thought I'm going to like this movie. I just like these people and I'm going to like this movie.
Well, you haven't said that for every movie.
That is true. Because sometimes I'm writing stuff and I'm thinking, oh, I'm not going to like this movie at all.
That's how you came over for Hot Fuzz. You came over and you're like, I'm not going to like this.
Yeah. I remember that because
I didn't do any homework because I don't think I'm going to like this.
Just because the stuff I read, it didn't sound like it was going to be a good movie at all. And I was, you know, I'd already checked it off. I'm good at doing that. So, you know. So what do you have? You have the good stuff. Now, this is the real stuff, isn't it?
And I got a ton of trivia. This movie had a ton of trivia.
Yeah. Well, these people were all crazy. Of course there'd be trivia.
One of the things I wrote down was that Janine Garofalo had originally passed on the role of the bowler.
Okay.
But changed her mind after William H. Macy and Jeffrey Rush had signed on.
Well, I understand that. And that sounds like a pretty cool combination.
A number of the sets used in the film are the same sets used in the movie Batman Forever.
That was one of the first things I thought when they were going through the city. I thought, that kind of looks like the Batman movie.
There was something else I think I wrote down about, like the sound a car makes. There was something about the sound a car makes is the same as the turbine noises for the Batmobile for the original Batman TV show.
Turbine sounds. You mean in the movie? They were in the movie?
Yeah, like one of the car noises was meant to sound like the Batmobile from the Adam West Batman. Maybe I didn't write that down.
Okay, because I don't
Oh yeah, I did. Captain Amazing's jetpack uses the same sound effect as the turbine engine of the Batmobile from Batman 1966.
Okay, I remember him flying in and he had the jetpack, but I don't remember sound from it.
Yeah, and I forgot to even pay attention, so.
Then it must not have been very big sound.
Tom Waits had a small role in this movie, and his odd hand gestures when explaining the psychofraculator was because he needed to write the lines on his fingers, and he was reading words as he was going along.
My gosh! I noticed him making crazy hand moves. Oh my gosh, that's funny!
According to Hank Azaria, the cast argued constantly with each other over the comedic tone of the movie. Like, you know, most of these people are comedians. And
can you imagine having that many comedians in a room trying to make a scene?
Yeah.
I can't even imagine. Oh my God. And they were such a wide variety of comedians.
Right.
I can't even imagine. I can imagine them arguing all the time.
When Casanova Frankenstein is listing out all the crews that he's cool with, the not so goody mob was actually the rap group Goody Mob.
Okay, okay.
The bowler's skull ball was custom made.
Of course.
After the release of the movie, bowling ball manufacturer Ebonite made a less detailed version as part of their Super Fun Ball line.
I've seen those. I've seen them at the bowling alley.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I have an Ebonite. Oh. It's nice.
According to Ben Stiller, on a Letterman appearance, he and Greg Kinnear got into a heated argument on set, and Stiller tried to be released from the film.
Wow. Oh, wow. Because Greg Kinnear is large and in charge?
I don't know.
Wow. But, you know, we've seen that before where actors could not get along and somebody got released out of a movie. We've seen that.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, wow. But
I bet it happens more than we think.
Probably. But come on, this is a job. This is your job. But, you know, not my business. Wow.
In a 2011 AV Club interview, Hank Azaria claimed that during production, Kinka Usher declared, "Going back to commercials after this, I've had enough. I'd much rather do my cool little one-minute shots than deal with all this nonsense." Which, yeah, I
understand.
Get it.
I do. I get it. But look at what the nonsense, I think the nonsense he came up with is wonderful. It's wonderful.
Casanova Frankenstein's limo is a stretched 1978 limited edition Indy 500 pace car Chevy Corvette.
Oh my gosh. Cool. That was a pretty cool car.
The role Danny DeVito was supposed to have taken in the movie was the shoveler.
Oh. Okay.
He would have been better as Mr. Furious.
You think so? You
Yeah.
still think you're sticking with that?
Yeah, little
Okay.
short guy, that short guy anger.
Yes, I get it. I get, you know, Danny DeVito is just not one of my favorite actors. You know, so maybe that's my thinking, why I'm thinking that.
This says that the Blue Raja had a car, and did he have a car?
A car? No, we never saw him. He was only in the station wagon, wasn't he?
Yeah.
No, I think that was a family wagon. That was not
Oh, the station wagon the shoveler owns is an early American Motors Rebel.
Rebel. I knew that. I knew that. That's a daddy wagon. That's not a single guy who lives with his mom's car. No, I don't think he had a car. Maybe that
Yeah,
part was taken out.
maybe. Susie Eddie Izzard's character, Tony P,
Yes.
makes a reference to the god of hair care.
Yes.
In her stand-up, she had mentioned that the Romans previously had crappy gods like Simon, the god of hairdos.
Okay.
So that was a nod back to that.
Okay. Personal work, but that's okay.
Yeah, I'm fine with it.
Yes.
It said that Bowler's bowling ball weighed about 30 pounds.
It was not a bowling ball. But when she was holding it, I noticed it. That's probably twice as big as an ordinary bowling ball.
Yeah.
But it looked like it had a full-size skull in it.
Yeah.
So that would have had to have been much larger than a. Yeah, because when she was carrying that purse around, you could tell that there was nothing in that purse a few times.
Yeah.
Because carrying a bowling ball around is not an easy
That's not a bag
task.
you hold up near your face.
No,
Yeah.
no. So, yeah, I believe that. I believe that absolutely.
The metal fingernail appliances, did you happen to notice those?
Yes, they were pretty cool.
Worn by Geoffrey Rush are similar to those worn by renowned British comic writer Alan Moore.
Oh.
Alan Moore is who wrote the original League of Extraordinary Gentlemen comic.
Oh my gosh.
So that ties in.
Yes. Very interesting.
There's an urban legend that Tim Burton secretly directed this film, and they just threw Kink Usher's name on it to take the heat off Tim Burton. But I don't think, while it was dark enough, I don't think it was quirky enough.
No, abs no. I can't see. I can't see Tim Burton all over this movie, no.
Well, Tim Burton did the first couple of Bat he did well, he did at least the first Batman. So I
Yes.
mean, he knows how to do a superhero movie.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But he has a certain way.
And like I said, it was dark enough,
Yes.
but it wasn't quirky enough.
No. I personally don't think so.
No. That's why it's an urban legend.
Interesting.
Listen, who was considered for Mr. Furious?
Oh boy.
Jim Carrey.
Okay.
And speaking of Mr. Furious, his motorcycle is a pre-1970s BMW R60 slash 2. I don't know. It says R60 slash 2, so I don't know what that means exactly, but
I'm not a
I didn't know that
motorcycle.
BMW made motorcycles.
Yes. I knew that. I personally thought it was maybe a really old Indian, but okay, BMW, all right.
Adam Sandler was considered for the spleen or the blue rajah.
Okay. Okay. I think more to the blue rajah, but okay.
Yeah. Tim Curry and Christopher Walken were both considered to play Casanova Frankenstein.
Absolutely.
And either one of them could have done
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Yes.
You know, Christopher Walken's a song and dance man.
Yes.
So he 100% could have done that.
I can absolutely see either one of them pulling off that part. Yes.
Tim Allen was considered for Captain Amazing. And I
but
can
you
see
know what?
That.
I can see that. Yes.
Because the Captain Amazing character is exactly like Buzz Lightyear.
Yes.
In the Toy Story movies.
Absolutely, yes.
Headstrong. And way too sure of himself.
Yes, yes, yes.
Brooke Shields was considered for the bowler.
No.
I think that at the time, Brooke Shields was kind of mainstream again because she was on, like, what was that show? Suddenly Susan? Yeah. She had that hit TV show. And I think she was just a little too mainstream.
Yeah, no, I don't see her at all doing that part. Interesting.
Yeah. John Goodman was considered for the shoveler.
Okay.
Brian Spicer was considered to direct, but I don't know who that is.
I believe that's a familiar name to us, but,
you
know, whatever.
Yeah. Daniel Stern, you know who that is?
My name is very familiar.
He's the guy that did most of the Wonder Years. He's the tall criminal in Home Alone.
Okay.
Was considered for the role of Blue Rajah.
You know what? I really like Hank Azaria there. I don't want to see anybody else.
Yeah. Amy Jo Johnson was considered for the role of Claire. And Amy Jo Johnson is who 90s kids would remember as the Pink Power Ranger.
Oh, okay. Here's a picture of Brian Spicer. He does not look familiar to me.
Will Smith and Eddie Murphy were considered for the role of an Invisible Boy. But I think that Cal Mitchell fit better because Cal Mitchell at the time was a young man, a much younger man than either right. Will Smith or Eddie Murphy.
Yes. He was kind of a kiddish type. Yes.
Yeah.
I think both of those guys would have been too old.
Way too old. Eddie Murphy especially.
Absolutely.
Danny Glover, George Wendt, and John Ratzenberger. George Wendt and John Ratzenberger were both on Cheers.
Yes. No. Neither one. No. Okay.
Were all considered for the role of the shoveler.
No, 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 no.
And that's all I wrote down, but there was all sorts of trivia.
Oh my gosh. I found this whole movie very interesting. I think it is absolutely a movie I could watch again and enjoy because there was so much to look at.
Yeah, it was very visually cool.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. I really enjoyed it, and I liked the cast as it was. I think it was put together. It turned out to be a good movie, so King Usher was good.
Yeah.
I enjoyed this movie.
Yeah, just because it didn't make any money doesn't mean it's not a good movie.
Absolutely. And, you know, in our whole series of movies that we have watched, just because it didn't make money doesn't mean it wasn't good.
Right.
You know, we've seen that over and over and over again that, you know, it just happened that it was slated to start on the wrong day, near the wrong stuff, you know, and just a whole lot of stuff goes into it.
Right.
So I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good movie.
Good.
It was a good pick for you.
I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah.
It was a recent purchase for us.
Oh, okay. Nice. And we had a delicious theme meal. We talked a little bit about it, but
yeah, we had diner food.
Yep. We, Lex and I always, you know, if you're going to a diner, you're going to get breakfast.
I always get breakfast.
Either that or you're going to get a club. So, you know, there's nothing in between there. And, you know, thank you, Bedford Diner, for cooking for us.
It was the Bedford Coney Island.
Bedford. Oh, right.
They're two different places.
That is correct. And I've often gone to the wrong one and still got a good meal. That Bedford Coney Island. I like their potatoes.
Yeah, they have really
their
good
potatoes. Are much better than the other. But it was delicious.
Yeah.
And we were able to get breakfast and lunch.
Yeah, we got lunch for Big Daddy because he's a lunch guy.
You know what? I've been known to have lunch at breakfast, but right now I'm on a breakfast kick.
Well, you know, and because our days are so skewed, you know, our timeline is so skewed. Like, you know, breakfast time is our lunch time.
Right, right, right. You know, and I don't think anything of it. Justin came home from work and he was ready for his dinner. I get it.
Yeah.
You know, but I also like breakfast for dinner, so. Can't go wrong there.
No.
But that's always a good thing.
Yeah.
And because we're kind of a week late in our deaths, we've got a bunch of deaths.
Okay.
Brian Brenneman, 38, of cancer. He's a football player.
Oh, dear.
He's too young.
Yeah.
Tom Troop, who was an actor, died at 97. I didn't see a cause of death there.
I don't know the name either.
If you saw his picture, you'd know who he was. Because he's been on a lot of stuff.
Okay.
Connie Francis, actress and singer at 87. Uh-huh. I didn't know she was still alive. Oh, my goodness.
I had just seen her recently, and, you know, recently, you know, for me seeing it is, you know, the show is probably 10 or 15 years old, but she was on, like, one of those My Haunting shows, like, she lived in a haunted house.
Cool. Oh, cool. And the picture that they showed of her looked like, exactly like she looked way back in the 60s and 70s. She just looked the same. You know, of course she looked older, but she just looked the same.
Oh, is she the one with the famous daughter?
I don't.
Because now I'm thinking about that stupid show. And one of the women had her daughter on, and her daughter was somebody that I recognized.
I can't honestly say that I know if she had children. I don't.
She had, it says a son. Nope. Okay. That's not who I was thinking of then.
Nope. Okay. The next one is Julian McMahon at 56, died of cancer. He was an actor.
Way too. He was a handsome man, too.
Yeah. Yeah. And very busy. Very, very busy. Into a lot of stuff. Malcolm Jamal Warner at 54.
Oh.
Drowned in a tragic accident.
That's heartbreaking. And years before Cosby.
Yep.
Piece of shit, Bill Cosby.
Yep.
That's unfair.
Right.
Because Malcolm Jamal Warner, like, did stuff to uplift Black people.
Yep.
Like, he had, like, helped with communities and outreach and stuff like that. And, you know, fucking Bill Cosby, you know, gets to live. And he is taken at 54.
Yes.
Wrong.
Leaves behind a wife and a daughter.
That are completely out of the public eye, and that's good for them. I hope that if the news media finds them, they leave them alone.
Right. He was apparently caught in a rip current and drowned.
Oh.
Because, you know, you've probably read how to get out of a rip current, but who's thinking that when they're panicking?
Right.
And also, you know, it's so sad because he is a Black man, and so many Black people don't know how to swim.
Ah,
That's not something that...
I think that's a generational thing.
Yes, absolutely.
I don't think that statistic is the same anymore.
Because there are programs now. USA Swim has a program for to teach young children how to swim. We have a program here in Toledo called the Josh Project that addresses that and has for the last about 15 years, I think, that has been. So now more young black children are learning to swim. So that statistic probably is old. But still, you should teach your children how to swim.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
everybody should know how to swim. Yeah. Even if you're not near water.
Right. In the very basic way.
Yeah, because you can drown in a puddle.
Right, right.
So.
So, yeah, that was just a sad one.
Oh, I'm sick about this. I'm so sad that, you know, a young, vibrant man who's out doing good for his community is struck down.
Yeah. Yeah, it's sad. Then we have Ozzy Osbourne at age 76.
Ozzy Osbourne has a checkered past, but...
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
You know, and he made decent music.
Yes.
And Parkinson's sucks.
Yes.
So, you know, that sucks. But, you know, also I hate his family.
Yeah.
So it's hard to feel sorry for them.
I'm pretty sick of all of them. But, you
know. Like, you know, yeah, I know you lost your dad and your husband. But, like, I also, like, I don't want to see your face on my TV.
Right. Those children love their dad. That's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, you know, they're allowed to have their grief, but I don't want to watch it.
True. I have seen snippets on stuff and I turn the channel.
And you know that they called the cameras to be there.
Right. And it's private. Do that in private.
Absolutely.
You know,
that's what's gross about it.
Yeah. Unfortunately, anybody that's got any kind of fame, you know, they want to have cameras there. No, stop.
Yeah.
Stop it. Well, and then we have our very, very favorite Hulk Hogan. Finally dead at 71.
What a piece of shit, huh?
I'm not a wrestling fan. And he's been on the fringes of awful for a long time.
He has been outwardly awful for a long time. He is an N-bomb dropper with the hard ER.
Yeah.
He is a union buster. Mm-hmm. He is a liar. He's a cheat. He's a snake. Fucking good that he's dead. Good.
But the people that loved him, love him.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Whatever.
But there's people that love Trump, too. What do you know?
Yeah, and I'm going to say the same about them. Liars, cheats, and snakes.
Right, right. Yeah, cardiac arrest.
Yeah.
But there was some talk that he had had some kind of surgery, neck or brain surgery recently. And there was, you know, the little TikTok shits that, you know, he was in a coma. He was, you know.
Well, he married that woman who's, you know, 5 seconds older than his daughter.
Right, right.
And all of a sudden, the news, you know, and anything reported about him is very much skewed to look good.
Right.
So what really was going on behind the scenes with exactly. Hulk Hogan? Not that I care, but...
Right. Has he been dead for the last 2 months since his surgery? You know, you don't know.
Right.
Oh, whatever. He's gone.
And all these young women with their old ass, I thought I had more time. Shut the fuck up. You knew that he was 1 foot in the grave when you married him.
Right. Right. Is she going to turn up pregnant in a couple of minutes?
Oh, you know? Gross.
Yeah, really. And finally, the last one I have is Chuck Mangione.
Chuck Mangione.
At 84.
Yeah.
Everybody knows who he is.
Yeah. We listened to Feel So Good.
Yep.
Poured one out for the homie.
Yep. I mean, he's on the soundtrack of so many people's lifetime.
So Justin had his autograph for like 5 minutes.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Somebody that Gami knew Chuck Mangione and gave her an autograph and she gave it to him. And, you know, that's, you know, lost to history now. But yeah, he had that for like 5 minutes.
I'll be darned. How strange.
Yeah.
Amazing. It's amazing. So, yeah, that's what I have. Strangeness.
Yeah. I don't got anything else, honestly.
Me either. I do have a friend who lost her grandson in a tragic accident this week.
Oh.
You know,
I'm sick about that.
Yeah. This is my friend's daughter is Lexi's age, and I don't even know what I have to say about it. I mean, why are we losing these young people like this? Sad, 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 sad.
It's awful. Yeah. It's awful, and our thoughts are with them.
Yes, absolutely. With Colleen and Deirdre.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's it. That's all we have. So what else? What else do we got? We got our producer. Of course, our producer is here.
Yeah, I took a picture of her, so I'll put her up on the socials because she's working extra hard.
So hard, she has fallen asleep.
She was fighting with me for a minute because I thought she had overgroomed a spot on her arm, but I think it's just a little peanut butter swipe.
Oh, okay.
So
she was really kind of trying to overgroom a little.
Yeah, she really, when she gets going, she sometimes can't stop.
Yes, yes, poor thing. We've already talked about our TikTok. Our TikTok is just as cute as hell this week.
We became superheroes
and had a good time.
We are ridiculous.
Yeah, we love it. We love it. We talked about our movies. What else?
Yeah.
What else is going on?
It's the heat dome has finally lifted and we've had a couple cool days. That's been nice.
Yes. Oh, and Jeep Fest is in downtown this week.
Yeah.
This weekend.
I know.
That's a huge thing. People from all over the world come to this.
Yeah, I don't know why.
They love their Jeeps.
Jeeps are probably one of the poorest made automobiles that are on the road. Like, I don't know how.
Riding in a Jeep is like riding in a tin can.
I don't. And they want $100,000 for these shits. Like, I don't understand it.
They're loud and they're uncomfortable. I'm not a Jeep person, but if you are, more power to you. And I know I saw the news last night. There's some mash Jeeps. There's some really old Jeeps that they have restored. It looks really cool.
Oh, that's cool.
And we had the biggest rubber ducky in the world downtown on Thursday. That was kind of cool looking.
Yeah.
I didn't know that there was a gigantic rubber ducky that toured the United States.
Who knew? The Goodyear blimp was flying over Sylvania a couple weeks ago.
Oh, for the golf tournament.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. There's a lot going on here in Toledo.
Yeah.
You know, people think we're just a little skid mark in the road. We're not.
No, we're a big little city.
We are. There's a lot that's happening here.
You know, Cleveland, Columbus, Cincinnati.
Yeah.
You know, we're up there.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
We're at the bottom of that list, but we're up there.
But we have fun stuff. They just have, you know, ordinary stuff. We have fun stuff. We have the Italian Bowl, you know, the Super Bowl of Italy. We have Jeep Fest. Come on. What can I say? We did stuff the bus this week. You know, everybody in the city is collecting school supplies for underprivileged kids. I mean, we do good things here.
Yeah. Oh, the TikToks about people, the people are making about school supplies. Half of them, like, made me want to jump through the phone and just start punching them. I don't send my kid to school with supplies. So do you hate your kid? Like, what exactly are you trying to prove by telling us that you're an asshole?
Why would you do that to your child?
I don't know.
Well, you know, a lot of people think that that's the school's job to supply them with all their stuff. It's not the school's job.
I do think if you pay for school, it should be their job.
Well, everybody pays for school.
But if you, like, pay for school, like, tuition, I do think that should be included.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have to go, you know, like college. I shouldn't have to go buy a $300 textbook I'm going to use for 2 months.
Right. I get that.
That I'm going to sell back to you for $45. That's a ripoff, and you know it.
Right. I get that, too. But yeah, I don't think that they should just be making a backpack for one kid. I think that they should, you know, collect stuff to fill your school.
Yeah.
You know, each school should have a let's stuff the school. Make sure that there's enough wet wipes and paper towels and pencils.
Justin's cousin, Audrey, when she was teaching, she would send out an Amazon wishlist link.
Yeah.
And it was just colored pencils and Clorox wipes.
Yeah.
And, you know, dry erase markers.
Because if the kids don't bring that, the teacher has to dip into her pocket to buy that.
And we're already not paying our teachers a living wage.
Right. So, you know, help out. Give, yeah, give them a hand. Give your school a hand.
A couple of CEOs have died in the last few weeks. I'm real sad about that. Have you heard about that?
No.
There was a shooting in New York, and a company that buys up foreclosed houses and turns them into permanent rentals so you can't buy a house was killed in that shooting.
Oh, there have been a lot of shootings and,
well,
horrible stuff these last couple of weeks.
I think people have kind of reached the end of their tether, and it's been hot, which never mixes well with anything.
That's true. That's true.
But I do think that people are, if they haven't already, are very near the end of their tether. And reality is a wild place now.
Boy, you are not kidding.
But yeah, so I'm real sad about those poor billionaires dying.
Oh, I get it now. Oh.
You know.
Okay. I did, yeah, and there's just been a lot of violence. And, you know, it's going to get worse. Yeah. It's just going to get worse. Who was it in Cincinnati that there was a big brawl? A fight?
Oh, I don't know. I've been busy at work. We haven't had time to discuss the news in the morning.
Right. Yeah. Oh, yeah, with your new program, yeah. Oh, yeah, and I haven't been paying attention to the news. Unfortunately, that's why I did not get your
hint.
Yes, but
well, I haven't been sad at any of the CEO murders at all this year. I'm hard pressed to feel sorry for somebody that, you know, makes money hurting people.
Right.
You know,
which, you know, really is anybody who has more money than God.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's rough. Rough being them, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, my.
And I'm still Team Free Luigi.
I know. I can't be because he, you know.
Listen.
He straight up took a life. I can't.
That's a moral quandary that I am completely happy to ignore.
I know. I cannot.
Because, again, that person made their millions off the backs of dying people.
Yes. Yes, that is absolutely true. But on the other hand, this young man set out to kill someone. That was his life's work, to kill him. And that's not right. That's not right in any book. But I understand you are absolutely within your rights, and you are not alone.
Absolutely not.
Far from being alone.
On top of him just being handsome as hell.
He is kind of cute, isn't he?
Looks a little short, though.
Well, yeah. But then on the other hand, he was in prison garb and had a flak vest on. So really, how do you know? But all that hair.
Yeah. Yeah. Handsome guy.
Yeah, so, yeah, and
listen, you know, uglier men have said worse things to me. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, yes. And, you know, of course, the Epstein files, let them out.
Release them.
If there's nothing in them, let them out.
You know what? We know that Bill Clinton was on the island. We know that he was on the plane.
Yep.
The travel logs have been out for years.
Yep.
We know. We know.
And how many pictures have we seen with Daddy Dumpy Pants and the man? Come on. He's not innocent in this.
Absolutely not.
Let out the thing, yeah. You know, let it out. What is it? Promises made, promises kept.
Oh, yeah.
Do it then.
Yeah,
do it. Loser, do it. That's kind of what's really big right now in the news. Is
I saw this on TikTok, so I don't know if it's exactly true because I did not fact check. But on TikTok, they're reporting that Ghislaine Maxwell has been moved to a lower security prison.
Minimum security.
Which means that she is transitioning to be released.
That's exactly well, closer to her family. She was born in France.
Yeah, sure.
How do her people now live in Texas?
Her husband, her father is English.
Yeah.
I think he's dead though. But she's from England.
Right. She's not from here. How can her family be moving her closer to her family in Texas? No. You know, we may look stupid. But we were not born last night. They're going to let her go.
100%. And you know what? I hope she writes a book. I hope she makes $1 billion off this.
And names.
Fuck 'em.
Names.
Absolutely.
Because you know somewhere, she's got pictures of everybody.
Absolutely.
So let's see them. Go ahead, baby. Do it.
Yeah. All those files that were on your desk, but now suddenly don't exist.
Right.
Yeah. Pam Bondi, you're a bad liar.
Yes.
Also, you're a bad person.
Right. Right. And like I said, I have heard that on TikTok, and I do not know for sure.
I didn't have time. I went to work this morning. So, like, I've been alive for more than I would like to admit today. So I actually went to work and worked. Like, I worked really hard.
Yeah. Right.
So I didn't even look at the news. I just had TikTok blaring in the background while I was
printing
emails and sorting papers and posting invoices and writing checks and breaking necks.
Oh. Okay. Wow. All right. And I have been too busy the last couple of days doing absolutely nothing. I didn't have time to do fact checking. I didn't have time to do more research on our conversation today. Just been too busy doing nothing.
Yeah. Well, we did a couple weeks ago, which is what interfered with our podcasting, our schedule, was because Big Daddy and I went up to Grand Rapids to check out a new video store, and it was very, very, very cool. That guy had a ton of stuff in this little tiny store. One thing that I think Justin should have got that he didn't get was an Army of Darkness poster from, like, Japan.
Oh, he loves that movie.
Yeah, but...
It was too expensive, wasn't it?
It was only, like, $15. Like posters and stuff were all, like, reasonably priced. And the only thing that prevented us from, like, completely losing our minds in the store is that... Most of the media, most of the DVDs and the Blu-rays were new media and not used.
Oh.
And I feel like if it had been used with used prices,
yes,
we would have
lost your mind.
We would have spent hundreds of dollars.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, that's just us being cheap.
Right.
You know, that has no bearing on how this man does his business. But we walked in, he was playing AFI and AFI only. And if you know me, AFI is one of my favorite bands ever. So I was just in my element in this store. I got a very cool London After Midnight thing. It's like a 70s plastic mask, but it's huge.
It's a It was a display piece, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think that it was a
but it was like the
person's mask. I think it was a display.
Yeah, but that's what it feels like when you touch it. It's like those 1970s, those early 80s Halloween masks.
Yep. Hard plastic.
Yeah.
Molded plastic.
And it was one of the first things I saw in the store, and I was just like, I went up and I just picked it up off the wall and just carried it
this
with
is
me.
Mine. I'm taking this. It's mine.
That guy was cool as hell. So if you are in the greater Grand Rapids, Michigan area, and you're a horror fan, go check out Alive Again. The parking situation is weird there. We parked in a church about, you know, half a block away behind it. But
there's probably municipal parking around somewhere.
It was all very weird. But definitely go find that shop. It was very, very, very cool. And we'll probably go back to see what else we can score.
Yep. Plus, you know, you got to have a Yester Dog and a sub from
Hellerico's Boardwalk Sub.
Hellerico's, yes.
Oh, those subs are bomb.
Are they like the grinders that we used to get here?
No, they're like, it's like a panini, but they turn the bread inside out. So like the inside of the bread gets panini crunchy, and they do, you have to order it, and it costs a little bit extra. You have to order it rogue. And what they do is they'll put olive oil on, you know, that the top of bread and seasoning, a bunch of seasoning and Parmesan cheese.
Yeah.
And then that's, you know, that gets crisped into the bread. Well, it's panini pressing, and it's so good.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
It's just, and like, I've got a panini press. Why can't I make a sandwich that tastes that good? I don't know.
Because they spit on it and turn to the left 3 times. I don't know how restaurants make everything so good.
They cut the meat right in front of you. They don't have just, you know, like a pack of meat that they're putting on the sandwich. They slice that meat per sandwich. What sandwich do you want? They've got like 25 different sandwiches they offer.
Oh, my God. Yum. So, yeah. So, there's lots of places you like to eat there. So,
yeah.
Absolutely.
And
it's a nice little trip from here.
Yeah. And we hit a Cheesecake Factory.
I've never been.
We had also never been.
Did you enjoy the food?
The food was delicious. Justin said his spaghetti was just average. It wasn't anything, you know, more than Olive Garden, but there was a lot of it. And the meatballs were huge.
Oh, wow. Nice. Nice.
And the cheesecake. I don't even like cheesecake. The cheesecake was so good.
Nice.
I got a chocolate mousse cheesecake.
Okay.
So it was divine. And he got a lemon meringue cheesecake, and his was really good too.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, good.
Yeah. And the hotel, we stayed at a hotel. The hotel was a little sketch, but not so sketch that we didn't want to walk in.
Yeah.
It was a little tiny sketch. And I think the directions were written when that strip hadn't been built and there were actual streets there.
Because
it was like, you have to turn on this street. And I was just like, there are no street signs. This is only fucking parking lot. Like, what are you talking about?
Okay. Just look for a sign.
Yeah.
That was what was in parentheses and small
but
letters.
But I'm telling you, the further we got away from Grand Rapids, because we didn't stay in Grand Rapids proper, we stayed in a little town called Granville. The further we got away from Grand Rapids, the scarier the neighborhood got. And Justin's like, where the fuck are we going? Like, seriously? And I was just like, I don't know. The hotel looked okay. It looked decent. It had an okay rating. And the price was right. Like, he's just like, maybe spend a few more bucks and stay in a nicer location. But like, around the hotel was not, immediately around the hotel was not bad. But getting to the hotel, the neighborhood was rough.
Oh my, okay.
Because he's like, where are we going?
Yeah, being from out of town, you don't know what the
You know, and we were about a half hour out of town.
rougher parts. You don't know what the rougher parts of the neighborhood are. Okay.
The hotel was nice, and behind the hotel was an apartment complex that looked like a castle.
Yeah, cool.
Like,
Okay.
we didn't take pictures of it, which we really should have taken pictures of it,
Yeah.
but it was called the Grand Castle. And it was so cool looking, and the apartments were expensive, but like they were like big ass like multi-floor apartments.
Very cool.
Yeah, so we had a good time,
Nice.
and we went a completely ass backwards way to get there.
That's okay. Were you in
We
a hurry?
no, we had meant to go up M50, but for some reason my
GPS?
GPS took us out 223 all the way to Jackson.
Okay.
So one of my bosses lives in Adrian, her and her sister, who works in the other side of the building. They live in Adrian. And I was just like,
Bye.
I'm like, you guys drive this every day? This fucking
That,
sucks.
yeah, that's a far way from
It's a drive.
Toledo. Yeah. Plus, it's two-lane highway most of the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, not nice. And lots of accidents happen in that stretch, too.
Ugh. Well, it was either busy or it was completely deserted. There were no two ways.
Okay,
It
cool.
was there were either packs of cars or there was nobody around us. It was wild. I saw where Devil's Lake is.
Yes.
Who
Cool.
knew?
Okay.
We had a good laugh about that, but yeah, we had a, you know, it was an uneventful trip. We
Good.
came home and Justin promptly got into a small car accident. So we're dealing with that right now.
Thank God he was sitting still
Yeah.
and in a parking lot.
Yeah.
That's all right.
It couldn't happen to anybody but Justin.
Of course. Of course.
Because I would have seen a car coming at me and I would have moved my car.
Or something. Beep the horn? I don't know. I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah. If so, that's been fun.
Yeah.
But it, you know, the insurance com both the insurance companies have made it real easy.
That's a good thing.
So
That's a good thing.
this is the first time, knock on wood, that we've ever had to deal with the insurance for a little accident. So, you know, this really has, and the repair guy has made it really, really easy.
Good. Yeah, that's usually not the hard part. You know, it just takes time,
Yeah.
especially if they're going to do any paint. So that's what takes so long.
That's what I, because Justin's like, oh, this is gonna take 2 or 3 days and I'll have my car back. And I'm like, oh no.
The
No,
it
there's paint involved.
it's the paint stuff that takes time. So, yay.
You don't want them to send you home with layers of wet paint on your car, do you?
Right.
Car
Absolutely.
paint's like nail polish. It's not it if it doesn't dry right, it's not gonna lay
It's,
right. And if it
yeah.
doesn't lay right, it's gonna peel. And if it peels, that's bad.
Right. It's not going to be nice. Right. So, yeah, it doesn't take any time to put a new bumper on, and but all that time to paint, you know, it goes in and it comes out and it goes in and comes out, and it's got to go into the heat room, it's got to go in the paint room, all that stuff. So,
Yeah.
yeah. Well, cool.
So that's been fun.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just been a normal week. So yeah. Yeah, we had fun doing our TikTok.
Yeah, go look at both of our TikToks.
Yeah.
You'll see again, like we said, well, you'll see the movies that we are going to watch. We have no set order for those movies, but I think we'll watch one of Mom's first just because I want Mom to feel special.
Well, we should watch one of yours, because there's more of yours than mine, so it should be you, me, you, me. You know,
Oh.
to fit in nice.
Okay.
I don't know. Hell, I don't know.
Okay.
You could put them all in a paper bag and stick your hand in and pull one out. That'd be okay with me, too. Put them in a bag, shake them up, and then pull one out. I don't care.
Okay. We'll figure it out. But keep following us. We're excited about these next 10 movies.
Yes. Yes, we are.
And
it'll be fun.
I hope, well, probably we'll run through a Halloween, but we'll do Halloween in November. We don't care.
Yeah, we'll do it right after.
Yeah. Absolutely. And if we get any goddamn snow, we're going to watch The Shining.
I think we're going to have to make a decision if we don't get any snow next year to just do it.
Okay.
But we'll wait. We can wait.
Because it's not a Christmas movie, but it's definitely a winter movie.
Yes. We were supposed to have gotten snow this last year.
We were supposed to have gotten hammered last year.
And we got nothing.
Nothing.
That one time we got a couple of inches and it was gone the next day.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know.
I one of the services we use has an office in Cleveland, and I had to call them for some reason. And he's just like, oh, you know, you're in Toledo. And I was like, yeah. And he's just like, hey, how's the snow over there? And I was just like, dude, we didn't hardly get any. And he's just like, are you serious right now? He's like, the whole city is shut down. We got like 35 inches of snow. He's like, are you serious? I'm like, yeah, we got like a few flakes. Like we got barely enough snow to say we had snow. And he's just like, that's so unfair.
We live on the other end of the lake and we miss the snow. By the time it gets to Toledo from Lake Michigan, it's done.
Yeah.
And then it collects up again. And by the time it gets to Cleveland, it's craziness.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we miss the lake effect snow both ways.
Yeah. Just what?
You're in the wrong city, dude. Come this way.
Yeah, we're in a valley over here.
Yep. Everything splits over us or around us, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
I know people are always astounded that we here in, you know, northern Ohio don't get a lot of snow. We don't. We're in the wrong spot for the snow.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Such things.
Yep. But we will be back. We will be back with something fun next week. One of our absolute favorites. And we will see you then.
All righty.
Bye.